Welcome to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show where Anders Leo Lindberg discusses the latest trends in finance and accounting with a global audience via LinkedIn audio. Recorded live, anyone can tune in and take part. Just raise your hand and share the stage. Will you join Anders next time? For now, kick back, relax, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Hashtag Finance Master Show. Always a pleasure to have you here. My name is Anders Leo Lindberg, and as always, I will be your host of today's show. Today's topic, we continue with the top 10 priorities for CFOs in 2024. And we will tackle the data topic today, which has even more relevance now than it did in the past. It's always been a big one on the CFO list, but now it's getting even bigger. You can be a part of the show too. Any given time, you can raise your hand, come up on stage and share your perspectives or ask questions. Let's dig into it. We are talking about the article I published this morning called CFO, Your Time to Get on Top of Data is Running Out. Big, bold statement, perhaps, but that's the case. Today's show is sponsored by Jedox. And in the article from this morning, you can find a link to an on-demand webinar where you can learn how to harness the power of autonomous finance, which data, of course, plays a big role in. Also, you can check out how Jedox is helping companies tackle their ESG reporting requirements and understand how they can embed ESG into their strategy and planning. And if you have listened to the show in the previous weeks, you would also know that ESG is one of the other top 10 priorities for CFOs this year. But let's get into it. Companies have struggled with their data infrastructure for years, and the CFO and CIO are often at the center of it. They have invested in new systems and tools to harness the power of big data. Yet, it seems the amount of data increases faster than the infrastructure could follow. Why is this important to get on top of the data challenge? Two main reasons. First, with the advent of generative AI and an increasing amount of other AI applications, they have a need to be built on quality data. Second, we use data to drive performance management across the company. If low quality data is used, this may cause suboptimal decision making. The added consequence of all this is that finance teams spend up to 70% of their time working on data, analysis, and reporting. 70% of their time. This causes a lot of frustration, stress, and ultimately burnout in finance teams worldwide. I think it's fair to say that your, assuming many of you are finance professionals, best work is not done in this way. There are no easy solutions to getting on top of data. If there had been, they would have been implemented now, and we wouldn't have this conversation. However, many strategies can be employed, and the very technology that depends on quality data can also help us solve the challenge. So speaking about the approaches, take a holistic approach. What does that mean? Let's get into it. Obviously, it's a complex issue to solve. Fix your outdated tech stack. You may just encounter your data problems faster. Fix your process, and you may find new cracks through which your data can fall. Train people on the importance of data quality, data literacy. You may just occupy the whole organization with data work. To fix the data challenge, we must take a holistic approach to improving our teams, systems, processes, and data understanding. It's the classic people, process, and technology. I'm sure many of you have heard about this one before. Let's just review each of them. People. We can educate our teams on data literacy as much as we want. However, it's more stick than carrot. Instead, we need to focus on outcomes. We should ask the relevant question, what's in it for them? Unless they see value in improving their ways of working, no change will occur. Ask your executive management and leadership teams about their critical objectives. Next, ask them what data they need to inform their decision-making better. This will give you a list of priorities, data points to gather and likely fix. Showing an interest in fixing these will also give you the resources needed to fix them. process, knowing the outcomes to aim for and the data needed to inform these outcomes, you can zoom in on specific processes. Your goal is not to fix all processes, only those critical to helping the company reach its strategic goals. For each of these processes, consider what data is available today, mine it, i.e. data mine it, to understand the quality of it, and fix the root causes of any potential issues you may find. Last month, we highlighted how you, for instance, can use generative AI to do this. If you need to employ temporary manual solutions, do it without hesitating. As you aim to prove how valuable it is to have high-quality data for decision-making. Finally, technology. Now you are working on strategic priorities and have fixed the processes critical to delivering high-quality data for decision-making. The last step is to digitalize your manual fixes or automate the processes as much as possible to limit the risk of errors and free time to analyze the data and generate insights. While we do need to work on all three aspects simultaneously, this is a precise sequence. Focus on outcomes before processes and fix the process before overlaying technology. Doing it in any other sequence, I know that's my claim, you can come up on the stage to challenge me, it's almost bound to cost you a lot of time and money while delivering little value. Too often, companies have a dual focus only on process and technology, or need to focus on strategic outcomes, but treat every outcome strategical, tactical, and operational equally. If anything, that's probably the most prevalent root cause for the data issues companies continue to face. I wanted to give a very specific example. And of course, data is involved in pretty much any process run in our companies today. So any example will probably go. But here, we wanted to talk about data and performance management. Let's consider a specific and practical example that most finance professionals can relate to, being performance management. Most companies run standard monthly cycles, wherein performance for the previous month is recorded, presented, and discussed. So let's consider what role data plays in this. Accounting. Accounting will review and record general ledger transactions throughout the month and close the month with accruals at the month's end. Already many challenges can appear here. Data isn't recorded properly at the source. The basis for accruals is doubtful. Other departments don't stick to deadlines. A lot of estimation is applied, and so on. We almost haven't even started, and we're already facing a ton of issues that could impact our data. Next is allocations. Most companies operate in business units or divisions or want to split their reporting into products and customers. All this happens through an allocation engine for cost and revenue. These engines may be sophisticated, however, they are often a topic for heated discussions, and many struggle to explain the numbers because they don't understand the allocations. So even if it's technically correct and the data is of high quality, it may be such a sophisticated model that you cannot explain what goes on. And as such, you have data issues. Then there's the non-financial data. Financial data is one thing, but what happens when we want to enrich our performance reporting with non-financial data? Definitions may be looser or don't follow the same standards as accounting data. Think about ESG for one. A simple revenue split into price and volume may already prove to be a significant challenge to understand and explain. Then it's time to translate into presentation mode. This may not be on your radar as a data issue. However, it is, since it's what you want to present to your stakeholders. If in the process of populating your presentation, you have a manual process, this is error prone, and you risk showing wrong numbers on the slides. That means your presentation is dead on arrival. All of us have probably tried this, and you miss your chance to influence decision-making. Finally, follow-up actions. So finally, there's the follow-up on your performance data. Again, this is not classic data like accounting data. However, you're still supposed to record decisions and actions from the dialogue. If you don't, action likely won't happen. But even if you do, you still need to confirm your understanding of the actions with your stakeholders. And you will then need to collect data on the impact of the actions to understand if the performance is improved. And that then, of course, starts the cycle all over again. In this example, we employ a broader definition of data, but it's necessary to understand performance management's far reach. You will likely find that similar broader data definitions apply when you explore other examples. Because what is data? Data is not just a number, it could be text as well. And you recording actions from a meeting is data. And that data needs to be understood by yourself, your stakeholders, those that are executing the actions. If it's not understood, of course you won't get the right outcomes. So that is data too. I once worked in such a performance reporting cycle. You've probably all done that too. Accounting closed the books on Workday 6. This is a major global company. And the allocations were finalized on day 10. A critical step in doing the allocations was allocating some network costs between two products. This was a more manual exercise done by a controller every month. Now, 1 month, our results seemed particularly good, and I took the numbers for granted. One of our product managers was flying home from Barcelona even, and I almost asked him to buy some champagne in the airport on the way home to celebrate the good results. But a few hours later, we learned about a mistake in the allocation. Instead of being 200% on budget, we were at 80%. Devastating, gut-wrenching. I'm sure you can somehow imagine how I was feeling in that moment. There went my credibility and all the excitement in the team. Then another few hours later, we were informed that there was a mistake in correcting the mistake, if you will. We were now 150% on budget, which at face value, of course, is amazing news. But despite this great news, momentum was lost and we couldn't celebrate the achievement. I think this simple example clearly highlights the challenges of getting on top of data. Okay, what do we do about all this? Start getting on top today, or Monday, if you will. There's no let up in getting on top of your data. AI can be a tremendous help if you have high quality data, and the opposite if you don't. We should respect that it's not an easy challenge to solve, but recognize that the urgency of solving it only increases. Here are some key cash questions to consider as you plan your next steps. What are our critical strategic priorities? What data do you need to inform those priorities? What are the typical data quality issues you encounter when gathering the data? Do they stem from process and/or technology issues? What are some tools available to solve the issue? Or are there existing capabilities you can leverage from current tools? What does the business case look like for investing in these tools? Simple, pragmatic questions should be relatively easy to answer. Some of them might be quite loaded, and it may take some time, of course. However, as they relate to strategic priorities, it should be easier to align efforts around solving them. Over the past many weeks, we have covered a lot of the top 10 priorities. We still have two left for CFOs to consider. Number 9 is financial planning in this so ever volatile world. And the last one is around cross-functional collaboration, breaking out of the finance silo. There's still lots to come on these priorities. And if you have other topics that you'd love for us to cover, you can always reach out where to find me on LinkedIn. With that, I want to wish everyone a nice Friday, nice weekend when you get to it, if it hasn't already started. And see you next week. It's on Friday again for a discussion on financial planning in a volatile world. Until then, feel free to catch me on LinkedIn and hope to see you again next week. Bye, everyone.
You've been listening to Hashtag Finance Master, a weekly show recorded live on LinkedIn Audio. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest trends in finance and accounting. And why not join Anders every Thursday on LinkedIn to share your own views and appear in the next episode?